Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you are telling about mantra, mahamantra, these three type of mantra. So generally, I habituated, like I generally chant loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and here also. But
very nice.
It takes a lot of time, and this Mansik and Upanishu, if it is better, and it's I was thinking like this is chanting, like I am doing japa, but you said like this is kirtan if you are chanting like loudly. So means I'm not chanting, I am doing kirtan only. So how
is your question?
So means should I continue or should I change?
As I say, you know, niyamata smarane nakala, niyamata smarane nakala. Lord Chaitanya is saying, second verse of Shikshastakam, Nam Namakari Bahuda, Nija Sarva Shaktis, Tatarpitas, Niyamata Smarane Nakala. Niyamata Smarane Nakala. As you have taste and you can feel satisfied in chanting and feel some taste and attraction, then whatever way suits you, that is best for you. There's no one size fits all. Everyone has their own size shoe. So similarly with chanting, as I mentioned, there are three ways or avenues of chanting, and this is how the acharyas analyze. They say two are with the mala and one is considered kirtan. Of course, I was speaking about Hari Bhakti Vilas saying that manasik jap means manasik jap of the diksha mantras, and also manasik jap you can apply to Mahamantra, Nam, is 1,000 times more beneficial, because the whole idea of chanting is to purify the mind and consciousness, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam. So one will find practically that to successfully and attentively perform manasik japa, one has to be extremely mentally concentrated, and he has to shut out all other sense impulses. And this is a very, very important step towards samadhi on a yogic ladder. So whether you're trying to attain samadhi by meditation or by gyan on chanting and studying Vedanta Sutra, or you're trying to attain samadhi by bhakti, we must come to the place of pratyahara. Pratyahara comes to dhyan. Pratyahara means withdrawing. Withdrawing the ears from sound, withdrawing the eyes from visual, withdrawing all the senses. The analogy that's used in Gita is like a turtle, a kachua. He comes out and he pokes his head around his legs, or he swims around, and then sometimes when he goes in the water, then he pulls his legs inside his shell, and pulls his head inside, and he can just go underwater like that, even hide in the mud like that. Sometimes turtles hibernate in the mud. They have the ability to hibernate. When the hot season is so dry, sometimes in these rivers and lakes or whatnot, the turtles, they dig under the mud, and then they sleep there until the rainy season, because they go down 2 or 3 feet in the ground, under the ground, and they're hibernating, like bears go in a cave and hibernate. So turtles and frogs, they have this ability to go under. So they draw everything within. So their consciousness is just inside the shell. So like a turtle, our consciousness should be inside our shell. Our shell is our brain, our head. It's a pretty hard rock up here. This is our turtle shell head. So withdraw. So to effectively do manasik japa, it requires the utmost pratyahara, withdrawing. Is pratyahara than dharana. Dharana means holding and fixing the mind on one place. So to hold and fix the mind on one place, first one establishes asana, then he does pranayama. But our system is to establish asana, and we follow yama niyama, sit on asana, and then we meditate on the mantra. So this silent manasik japa requires the utmost dharana. You have to hold the mind. So when the mind is being held tightly by the maha mantra, it's getting very quickly purified. That's why it says it's 1,000 times more beneficial, because it's 1,000 times more difficult to control and fix the mind when only fixing it on the mental vibration of Krishna's name. That's why when we chant audibly so we can hear, then we're engaging our ears and we're engaging our fingers and we're engaging, of course, the fingers are always, if you're counting, or our fingers are moving, but we're engaging our jiva, our tongue, and our ears, and that way helping capture the mind, basically the objective is to fix the mantra in our mind. You can fix the mantra in the mind by a physical approach, by using the audible tongue, speaking loudly or audibly, speaking the mantra. That's the physical approach to control the mind and purify the mind with the mantra, or you can use the internal subtle approach of using the mind, of controlling the mind itself with the mind, and chanting the holy name in the mind. It's one of those experiences they say you have to see it to believe it. Like, what does jackfruit taste like? Well, it's hard to explain. ripe jackfruit or whatever. So different analogies are given. So you have to taste it to understand it. So what is the taste of the meditators, the jnanis and meditative yogis are just sitting there in one place, totally silent. But they're relishing some inner bliss, some Atmananda. They're just meditating, maybe on one object, a flame of a candle, or the spot between their eyes, the trikuti, the point between the eyebrows. So we can also do that, and at the same time, between the eyebrows, we put the form of Radha and Krishna inside our mind, and we worship them with the silent chanting of their mantra. And then from that form, the leelas will start to unfold, because the concentration point for all the mental energy, for all the manovritti, all the thought waves, all the myriad thought waves, millions and unlimited manovritti, thought waves and thought impulses, they're all controlled by the center point of the trikuti, which means the point between the two eyebrows. It's called Madhya Bru. Krishna himself is describing meditation in the Bhagavad Gita in 6th chapter, and he says Madhya Bru. Bru, B-H-R-U in Sanskrit, means brow, eyebrow. We say eyebrow in English, B-R-O-W. So Madhya means the point. He said the yogis fix their gaze on the Madhya Bru, so we're also yogis. But so someone might say, oh, you're mixing yoga with bhakti. No, it's not mixing yoga, it's mixing sattvic principles. These are sattvic principles. Meditation is sattvic. A sattvic diet is sattvic. Sitting straight is sattvic. Oh, why are you sitting straight to chant japa? Just this way, that way. No, you have to sit straight, otherwise you can't sit for a long time. You have to have a strong back. Chant or sit in chair, whatever. So these are some points. So no, there's no one answer we can say, oh, that's bad, you do like this. No. Because in Haridas Thakura, because that's also true, all these points are true because the glories and of the holy name are unlimited. There's no limit to the glories of Krishna or his holy name. They are non-different. Binatvam namanamano. Binatvam namanamano. There's no difference between Atastri Krishna Namadi, Nabhavedgraham Indriya, Namachintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigra, Purnashuddha Nityamukta Binatva Namanamana. So holy name is Purnashuddha, completely pure and purifying, and completely liberated. So however you chant, whether you're chanting, you want to chant your japa loud, and you like that, fine. Because in Haridas Thakura and Chaitanya Bhagavat, when he's preaching in a particular circumstance, to some people who were challenging him, they're saying, oh, you're chanting Hare Krishna out loud. Well, maybe he was doing kirtan. We don't know whether he was doing japa out loud or not. But the criticism, if you look closely to the story, he says, why are you chanting Hare Krishna out loud? They didn't say japa, kirtan. There's no word there. He said, in Shastras it says you should chant in your mind, which is true. But shastra, mantra shastras also say there's three kinds of chanting. But this Brahman, Gopal Chapel, or Chakravarti, whatever his name was, Gopal Chakravarti, I guess. This Brahman, he was critical. He said, no, no, you're making disturbance. We're trying to meditate, and you're going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, this, I'm there on the banks of Radhakund, my kutir, and the Maha Mantra is sitting outside, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Who is that? I'm trying to meditate. Oh, this guy in the red claws, you know. Who knows? Whatever, maybe they're sleeping, you're waking them up. Who knows? Who can say? But what anyone's doing. But so this was a challenge, and Haridas Thakur said, no, I will prove in Shastra. So what I'm saying, what I said about the holy name, I can prove in Shastra. And what Haridas Thakur said, he can prove in Shastra. Because the limits and the glories of the holy name are unlimited. So he quoted the story, you know, he gave an analogy, and he said, what's better, to feed yourself or to feed yourself and feed 100 people? And so then he cited the story of Prahlad, who was chanting out loud or whatever, something, I forget. And so he showed some shastras to this Brahmin to show that chanting out loud is fully sanctioned in the shastras, and it's very beneficial. Not only am I getting benefited, but so many living entities are getting benefited by the loud chanting. So there's nothing. We can never say that chanting Hare Krishna is wrong. It's always right. It's always correct. It's always perfect. If that's bringing you to the goal of total absorption in a Naam Roop Guna Leela of Krishna, then you continue that method of chanting. There's not one way for anyone. But you will find, if you explore, because there are these, this is our life and soul, Naam Bhajan, and especially your name. So we should explore the different aspects of this Naam Bhajan. Just like if someone is a yogi, he doesn't just learn one asana. He learns different asanas, because different asanas have different effect and different benefits to help his mental development and maintenance, and his body also, and different diseases also, different asanas. So same thing, our bhajan, our life, and bhajan is Naam, Naam and Smaran. Anyone, whether Vaidhi Bhakti or Raghunuga Bhakti, the basis is Naam, but for the Raghunuga Bhakti, there'll be also strong emphasis on Smaran, Naam and Smaran, remembering Krishna's Leelas, with or without the chanting of Naam, but it's recommended by Acharyas until the Antakaran. Antakara means the subtle body, the mind, intelligence, and consciousness is extremely pure. One should continue to chant the Maha Mantra along with his meditation on Krishna's form and qualities and Nitya Leelas. Jiva Goswami says this in Sandarbhas. Because meditation, just pure, only smarana meditation, is very, very difficult for everyone in Kali Yuga, especially more difficult. So we require the steady and continuous purification of the mind and the pacification of the senses and mind, which the continuous chanting of Hare Krishna mantra brings us. But I'm inviting you or encouraging you to explore the different ways of chanting the Maha Mantra to see how judge the effectiveness. Because now you're chanting in one particular way and seeing the effectiveness and benefit of that. So now if you try the way I'm suggesting of silent chanting, then you can judge a thing by its results. Phalam Pariyachiyate. Prabhupada used to say that phrase, some Bengali phrase. You can judge something by its fruits. So you practice, you try Manasik Japa, and you'll see it's a real challenge, actually. It's a challenge to your... It's a challenge, and especially men, they like challenges. It's a challenge to your ability to concentrate. It really tests your power. If you want to have a test your powers of concentration and test your powers of attentiveness, then try chanting the Maha Mantra silently without moving the lips. Because silence forces you to go fixed on the mind. And automatically, when you fix on the mind, your senses, you withdraw from your senses. As soon as you meditate, when you're meditating on this name, or you're meditating some object within your mind or some point, like third eye, the stronger your meditation, internal meditation comes, automatically you withdraw from your senses. But if you practice withdrawing your senses by full sense control, then it's easier to even start the practice of manasik japa or practice of meditation. But even when you're practicing, when you're trying to practice, automatically your conscious attention, which ordinarily your conscious attention flows out through your eyes or through your ears or through your sense of touch, but it automatically withdraws from there to give you more energy and more power for your mind to concentrate on the one point of the mantra inside your mind, because it's silent. As they say, the mind can only concentrate on one thing at a time. So now the mind is sending information to the ears to work. So they pick up the sense of the shabda, and the mind is sending impulses to the tongue to move, so the muscles move, and saliva is produced, and the throat. So much manovritti is going out of your energy of your mind is going out to your tongue and lips and ears and fingers and whatnot in order to engage in a practice of upamshu or loud chanting. And this way the mind is not going anywhere. Of course, we're moving our fingers to keep track of chanting, but when yogis meditate, they have gyan mudra. The body is not moving, not even the tongue. Tongue is folded back. They learn how to fold back the tongue and catch the soma ras dripping down from the susumna nadi back. The head region. So that's the whole yoga called Kechari Yoga. They have to practice by cutting the bottom of the tongue. You know, underneath the tongue, there's a piece of skin that holds it. They cut it. They start practice cutting it with a razor, so the tongue can hang out. Like you see posters of Kali, because that's part of Kundalini Yoga. You know, they do that, and then the tongue goes back and covers, and then the there's some kind of nectar drop. In this case, like somaras, is dripping from the brain somehow, the top of the susumna nerve, and it's going down straight to the stomach from the back of the throat. Like you drink water, it follows down. So behind that, above in your skull, there's some opening, and a minute drop is going down and hits the gastric fire and gets burned up. But if you catch it, then it dissolves into the tongue. You live a long time. That's how yogis, they live to be 200 years, 300 years old without eating anything. They're inside a cave meditating, and they're maintaining their youth because they're drinking soma ras and they're doing pranayama, so they're increasing their lifespan because they take one breath every 5 minutes. You're born with so many breaths. Like say you have $1,000. If you spend $1 in a day, then what happens?
1,000 days.
1,000 days and no more money? So you have 1,000 breaths, you take one a day, you live for 1,000 days. So we have so many thousands. So if you take, we usually take, 30 breaths a minute or whatever it is. So you take 5, then you extend automatically. This is karma. Action, reaction, this is karma. Yoga is a mechanical process. It has to work. This is the law. The body is a physical, this is a yantra. It's called yantra rudayamaya. This is a yantra. Yantra means machine. Machines work under certain physical laws. Every machine. So we're not this type of mystic yogis. We're mantra yogis. We chant the mantra. So we should explore all the aspects. If we can import or use some yoga techniques, well and good. Well, otherwise, no need. Everyone knows what silence means. Personally, I it's great relish in manasik japa. I can say that because I was struggling for many years, and I met many sadhus that practice like this, and I met many sadhus that don't. And so I like the challenge. So I was like, you know, practice makes perfect, like everything. So now we may have perfected, we're hearing very nicely, and we're feeling very, we're right there in tune with the name, and nice taste is coming from chanting the name, and some revelations and some inner convictions, and everyone has their own individual experiences from their bhajan. So you can see what awaits you. It's like a new frontier, new bhajan frontier, as they say, new bhajan frontier of the manasik. This is a suggestion for this one person, not for everyone. The person I'm speaking to or answering the question, this person has quite long experience in chanting the holy name. Not a new person. You're new people like yourself should chat and hear.